Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening in every Sunday night to the Bible Crossfire program, where we try to contrast Bible truth with false religious teaching. Because as we've pointed out many times before, John 8:31, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So only God's truth, what is actually taught by the Bible in every particular, will set us free from sin. False religious teaching, error, will cause us to be lost. It will not set us free from our sins. Now, as the announcer said, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We'd be happy to take your question or comment. A Bible question or comment, of course, 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, let's continue our discussion that we started last week about the authority and sufficiency of God's Word. What we mean by the authority of God's Word is that we should only practice what the Bible authorizes us to do. We proved that from Colossians 3:17 and other passages last week. What we mean by the sufficiency of God's Word is that God's Word, the Bible, tells us everything we need to know religiously. We prove that from passages last week, like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. At this time, I would like to read another passage that I think is important in this regard, and that is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. A text from the Old Testament says, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." So we're not to turn aside to the right hand or the left from God's instruction. Now, let me ask you a couple of, give you a couple of illustrations or examples of things that are turning aside to the right or left. For example, women preachers. We've read on this program a number of times that the Bible says the women are not to speak in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35. They're to keep silent in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, 34. When churches, congregations, allow women to preach from the pulpit, and that's probably way over half of them in the United States, they're turning aside to the right or to the left from God's instruction. What about infant baptism? Isn't that turning aside to the right or left? We've read a number of times on this program from Acts chapter 8 where the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." In other words, you may be baptized if you believe. Well, an infant can't believe. Doesn't need to believe. Doesn't have any sins to be forgiven of anyway. Not mature enough to believe. Philip made it clear that you have to believe first before you can be scripturally baptized. So infant baptism is turning aside to the right or left from God's Word, which we see is condemned in Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. And then what about sprinkling for baptism? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says that we are buried with Him, buried with Christ in baptism. When somebody dies and we take him out to the graveyard to bury him, we don't just stand them up and sprinkle a little dirt on their head. We put them all the way up under the ground. We know what buried means. We know what buried means then in Romans 6, verse 4 also. Put them all the way up under the water. Matter of fact, verse 5 of Romans 6 fills us in on the fact that baptism is supposed to be a picture or a likeness, as the King James Version says. That's how it puts it. A picture or a likeness of the burial and resurrection of Christ. And that's exactly what immersion in water looks like. You go down in the water, that looks like somebody being buried, Christ being buried. And when you come up, it looks like Christ's resurrection. Sprinkling doesn't do that. So women preachers, infant baptism, sprinkling for baptism, these are all things where churches, Christians, preachers, whichever way you want to look at it, have turned aside to the right or to the left from God's Word. And the Bible specifically says we're not to do that. I'm not making this stuff up, people. This is in God's Word. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. In 1 Kings 12, verse 33, Jeroboam, quote, offered in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And he was condemned for this. Now, aren't many churches practicing these days what they have devised in their own heart? They are, aren't they? You know, the Bible tells us, it's like a guidebook, operator's manual for churches. But most churches don't consult the guidebook. They don't consult the Bible. Instead, they do what they have devised in their own heart, the very thing that Jeroboam was condemned for in 1 Kings 12, verse 33. Let me give you an example. The Catholic Church has the doctrine, as many of us know, of the purgatory. Purgatory. Now, where can you read about purgatory in the Bible? Nowhere. You see, the Catholic Church devised that idea, the idea of purgatory, by their own human heart. Not by God. They didn't get it from God. Where, as I ask, where can you read about purgatory in God's Word? You can't. So they devised that in their own heart. That's what Jeroboam was condemned for. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, Paul wrote, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So, I want to point out that the things written are the commandments of the Lord. First of all, they're commandments, not just opinions or suggestions. Commandments are things that are required. And they're commandments of the Lord. They didn't come from man. Now, I'm talking about even the parts of the Bible that aren't in red letters. Paul is saying that what he wrote, and what he wrote is not in red letters. Jesus didn't actually say it at that time. Paul wrote it. But what he wrote, even though it's not in red letters, it was the commandment of the Lord. Commandment meaning required, and from the Lord. We have to treat the Bible that way. What is written to us are commandments of the Lord. We must obey them. If we don't, then we're not making Jesus our Lord. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You see, you can call somebody Lord or boss, but if you don't aren't doing what they say, you're not making them Lord or boss. Joseph from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
Thank you for your call, Joseph.
Yeah, man. I just want to know what you think about Colossians 2, 16 through 23. And I have another question right after you tell me about that.
Well, isn't Colossians 2, the end of the chapter, talking about man-made rules and laws that aren't really part of God's Word? People were making rules like touch not, taste not, handle not, verse 21. And these are things that aren't actually in God's law. And so we shouldn't bind rules and regulations that aren't in God's law. Isn't that what it's talking about, Joseph?
Yeah. And one of the other question I have is that, and I ask the Lord, I'm going to say this to you with the right spirit. Now, it reminds me of the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes.
You know, strict Sabbath, strict don't eat this, don't, you know. And I'm not saying it to take people off common sense eating, you know, dietary laws that make sense, but that kind of flies in the face of what the scripture really means, as far as I my understanding now.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, the first verse that you mentioned, verse 16, mentions the Sabbath day. In verse 14, there it says, talking about Jesus, that blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So Jesus blotted out some ordinances. An ordinance is simply a law, in this case, ordained by God. Jesus blotted these ordinances out. He took them out of the way and nailed them to his cross, which tells us when he took them away. Then verse 16 is giving us some examples of the laws that he blotted out. And he says, don't let any man judge you with respect to these things anymore. Why? Because verse 14 said, they're blotted out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And the examples he gives are the daily observances. He says, meat or and drink. Then he says, respect of a holy day. That's the yearly observances. Then of the new moon, that's the monthly. And of the Sabbath days, that's the weekly. So you mentioned the Seventh-day Adventists. They're not paying attention to verses 14 through 16 very carefully, because that says this law about the Sabbath has been blotted out. Do you follow what I'm saying, Joseph?
Yeah, even the Orthodox Jews still are in that. It could be put into that particular understanding.
Yes, that's exactly right. Of course, they've never even accepted Christ as their Savior. They don't even believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So, but you're right, they would fall under this condemnation. Joseph, any last follow-up before I let you go?
No, all I got to say is, brother, keep doing what you're doing. God bless you, and I just hope people have ears to hear as the Spirit is talking through you, because it's going to set them free from a lot of different things, you know. And y'all are being a blessing. Thank you so much.
Joseph? Hey, Joseph, I'm near Huntsville, Alabama. Whereabouts in Alabama do you live? Just tell me about.
I'm in Satsuma. I'm like just near Mobile. I'm at the opposite end of where you're at.
Well, I was just down in Mobile preaching a couple of weeks ago. Maybe if I'm ever down there again, maybe we can join up and get together and visit with one another.
Sure. Well, I'm a traveling missionary, actually, and I've been all over the United States over the last 12 and a half years, and it's like it's an amazing thing to see the era that you're preaching to people, that wake them up, and how much people are still so far gone. Even some of the Catholic Church I talked to, the guys that have never had the Bible read to them prior to 2013. They had never, and it's like, what? You just like, this is, man, we're not in the dark ages, and there's a lot of, some people in the Catholic Church are like that, and they need to be set free. They really do.
Thank you for your call, Joseph.
All right, you be blessed, brother.
Not to pick on anybody unnecessarily, but I do a lot of knocking on doors to try to get Bible studies. And when I say, would you like a Bible study? Generally, the Catholics will say, no, I don't want to study. I'm Catholic. It's like it's supposed to be understood that if you're Catholic, you're not going to want to study the Bible. And that's sad, because the only way that we can find the truth that's going to set us free from sin is by reading and studying the truth. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's word is the truth. We need to read and study God's word so we'll know the truth, so we'll know. We're supposed to trust and obey God, right? Well, how are we going to know what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to obey, if we don't know the truth, if we don't know God's word? That's one of the reasons we have this program, is to encourage true Bible study. Actually find out what the Bible says, not man-made doctrines, not man-made teachings, but what God actually says, what He teaches. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, a verse that we quote quite frequently on this program is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, which says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what seems right to us may not be right. What if you're in a denominational church and they're teaching a particular thing, it may seem right, but if it doesn't match up with the Bible, it's not right. No matter how much it seems right to us, the end thereof are the ways of death if it does not match up with what God actually says in His Word. Only God's Word can actually tell us what is right. Let me give you an illustration of this. Do you remember the story of Jacob had 12 sons, and Joseph, the one with, he'd given the coat of many colors, the other brothers were jealous, so they sold Joseph into slavery. His brothers did. Now, when they did that, and this is from Genesis 37, 31 through 35, if you'd like to look it up and read it as I'm talking about it. When they sold him into slavery, they tricked their dad into thinking Joseph was killed by a wild animal. Now, Jacob, the dad, really felt like Joseph was dead. You remember he said, I'm going to go to my grave mourning for my son, who basically thought was killed by a wild animal. But Jacob's feelings were wrong. He was deceived. He was tricked by his sons, by his other sons. Likewise, we can be deceived by our feelings also. We may feel like we're saved. Somebody may have told us, all you got to do is believe in Jesus to be saved. And so when we believe, because they've told us we'll be saved if we believe, we're happy. And because we have happy feelings, we might think that we're saved. But our feelings can be wrong. Jesus never taught all you have to do is believe to be saved. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. So just because you may feel like you're saved, if you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, as God requires in Acts 2:38, you're not saved, even though you may have been happy. Your feelings may have told you you were saved, but you weren't really saved if you did not obey the true gospel. Just like Jacob, he really felt like his son Joseph was dead, killed by a wild animal, but he had been deceived. Somebody had given him some misinformation, and so his feelings betrayed him. They were wrong. They were not correct because they weren't matched up with reality. And we can do be do the same thing religiously. We can feel like we're saved. We can feel like this is right or this is right. But if it doesn't match up with God's Word, it doesn't matter what our feelings say. They're not reliable. The only thing that's reliable in religion is the standard of God's Word. So we need to be led by God's Word, not our feelings. 877-655-6755 is the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment. Next, I would like to read from Ephesians 3:3-4. Paul said there, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And so this text teaches us that we understand God's Word by reading what it says, just like if we were reading a letter from a friend. People talk like you need something miraculous to help you understand the Bible. They'll say things like, "Well, the Bible's hard to understand, but the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation," or something like that. Or, "The Holy Spirit told me this," or, "The Holy Spirit told me this." And so, this is not the right way to approach Bible study. Not the right way. Ephesians 3:3-4 says that Paul revealed what God wanted him to reveal. That's writing the Bible, for example. And then it says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand." So we can understand the Bible simply by reading it and studying it. We don't have to have a preacher telling us what it says, or a priest telling us what it says. We can understand it by reading it and studying it ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 21:25, he asked a question, "The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men?" Now here's a lesson we can learn from that passage. We should ask this same question about any religious belief or practice. Any religious belief or practice, we should ask the question, is it from heaven or from men? Now, if it comes from heaven, that is God, we'll find it in God's Word, the Bible. If we can't find it taught in God's Word, the Bible, then it must not have come from God. It must have come from men. And that is something that we don't need to pay any attention to. Jeff from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. My comment is, what about the thief on the Bible? I mean, hanging on the cross with Jesus. Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Are you telling me that the thief was not saved?
Hey, Jeff, that's a very good question. Are you driving right now, or can you turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and read a passage with me?
I'm driving.
All right, listen, I'm going to try to read Hebrews 9:15-17 and make a point about the thief.
Okay.
It says, in Hebrews 9:15, it says, "For this cause he," talking about Christ, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Now catch this, Jeff. "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." The point being made here is the same that we can make with a will. My parents wrote a will in the 1970s, leaving equally their possessions to myself and my three brothers. But even though they wrote the will in the 1970s, my dad passed away in 2001 and my mother in 2010, the will didn't go into effect until after the death of the one who wrote the will, the testator. And it's the same way here. What this is talking about is the New Testament. The New Testament law did not go into effect until after the death of the testator, Jesus. And so while Jesus lived and while the thief lived, they were living under the Old Testament law, which did not require water baptism to be saved. Water baptism was not required to be saved until the New Testament law went into effect in Acts chapter 2, some number of days after both the thief and Jesus died. Now, Jeff, does that make any sense?
It does make sense.
Okay, I wanted to make sure you understood it before you tried to agree or disagree, because until you understand that, you know, you can't really agree or disagree intelligently. But just make sure you understand what I'm saying, and then you can think about it and maybe get back with me. That passage is Hebrews 9:15-17. You want to think about it and get back with me, maybe?
One last question, I'll let you go. I will think about it.
Okay, Jeff.
Okay, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right.
Now, when he says, but by me, he didn't say, but by me and baptism.
Well, I could say, but he didn't say, but by faith or but by repentance. You see? But you believe
right.
A person has to believe
right.
And has to, does he have to repent to be saved?
Absolutely.
Okay, but he didn't say. But he didn't say in John 14:6, the passage you're quoting, "No man cometh to the Father but by repentance." See, he's not telling us the conditions of salvation there. He's saying that if you don't believe in me, as a matter of fact, in John 8:24, he said, "Except ye believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins." So, if you can't come to Jesus, except you can't come to the Father except by Jesus. So you can't do it as a Muslim. You can't do it as a Jew. You can't do it as an atheist. You can't do it as a Buddhist. But he's not telling us there the conditions of salvation, which are belief, repentance, and baptism. Jeff, we appreciate your call. I want you to send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and let's talk about it further after the program, maybe sometime this week.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. Now, Randy has called in and wanted to know that passage that I mentioned about the Sabbath, but he wanted me to announce it over the air. That was Colossians 2, 14 through 17. That's one of about 10 passages in the Bible that conclusively proves the Sabbath is no longer binding. Larry from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, Patrick, I just want to tell you that I appreciate your program, and I know time's drawing short, so all I want to say is we got to remember that Satan is a deceiver, so what he wants to do is twist everything up and make it like Scripture. But he don't want you to believe the actual Scripture. He wants you to do it your own way. And
Larry, if he didn't make it similar to Scripture, nobody believe it. So what he does, he makes it similar to the truth, but not quite the truth, and he hooks people into false doctrine that way.
That's right. And just keep up the good work. I'll let you go, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for your encouragement, Larry.
Thank you, Patrick. Bye.
Bye bye. Yes, we're going to have to go off the air in 2 or 3 minutes. One last passage, 2 John verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So going beyond the doctrine of Christ will cause us to be lost. Now, how many churches are really paying attention to the doctrine of Christ these days? Not many. They're not paying attention to the doctrine of Christ. They're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And therefore, they don't have God. They can't be saved. We're going to try to take one last quick call. Michael from Kansas, we got 1 minute. Go ahead real quickly with your question, Michael.
Okay, yeah, just real quick. I've had a conversation with people before. But say you're in a plane, you get saved, or something such like that, but you die before you can get baptized. Are you not saved?
Right, that's exactly right. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So he meant what he said. Just what if a person were to get baptized but he didn't believe? He won't be saved, and neither will a person who believes but doesn't get baptized. It takes both of them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We appreciate everybody listening tonight. The Bible is both authoritative and sufficient. It tells us everything we need to know, and we should only practice what the Bible authorizes us to do. If you want to talk further this week, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Just remember, ye shall know the truth, and only the truth will make you free from sin. John 8, verse 32. Thank you for listening this evening.